morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's just so good to be back with you, connecting in this virtual experience. God has just been so, so good to us. We are actually ending the series today on distraction and fears, and I pray that you've been blessed to just be aware of how the enemy attacks us and how we can just stay close to the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit working in the believers, that we are saved and delivered and set free. I just want to thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com. So many wonderful things to help us to fight through all the stuff that's in this world, the darkness. We've got our Monday Bible studies, our Tuesday noonday Bible studies, Wednesday Bible studies, and we have special teachings also just to encourage our hearts. We need the Word, God's Word, more than ever before. Also, want to thank you for your prayers for our 8:45 and our 10:45 service and our 10 o'clock online. I'm telling you, souls are being saved, brought to the knowledge of the truth of Christ, and saints are being edified, lifted up, that we can walk more like the Lord. I want to let you know some things that are coming up on our next Sunday. We've got Minister Cinda Jones. She'll be the speaker for our 8:45 service. And then our 10 o'clock online, we'll have Bishop Eric Gladney. And then our 10:45 in-person service, we're going to have Dr. James Rudd. All wonderful speakers to just speak into our lives. I also want to take time to thank you for your giving. I thank you for giving from your heart. God loves a cheerful giver. And in this season and time, the Lord is just using so many people. Giving is just not monetary. We bring that out. But giving is just remembering people. We're going to talk about that today. Loving our brothers and sisters and texting them or calling them or spending some time with them or small group studies. We want to make sure that God is manifesting in us in so many ways. So thank you. Thank you for being the body of Christ. Also, I want to encourage you, go to our website. We've got so many wonderful things that are there in connection to our Black History Celebration, Black History Month. God has just used so many people within the history of the African American descent. One sticks out, Jerena Lee. She was in 1783, 1864, and she was one of the first Methodist women to proclaim God's word. One of the preachers didn't show up, and the congregation was just sitting there. But because she understood God's word, she had gotten into God's word praying, she was able to share a word with the congregation. Man, that's good news, that God's word continues on. God's word is being delivered and set free. Just a history note, a history moment. So I want to encourage you to celebrate how God is using you in this historic moment of history. There is so much that's going on, but I thank God for Jesus, His grace and His mercy in our lives. Well, I'm ready to get into the Word of God, but I want our hearts to be prepared as we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that He's doing for us. See you soon.
Our scripture this morning will come from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 23. Be at peace among yourselves. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and understanding of his holy word.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I came to Jesus as I was. I could not find my way. I found in him a resting place, and now I know I'm safe today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Jesus, you blessed me once, and then you blessed me twice. And when I pause just to think about you, you've been blessing me all the days of my life. That's why I gotta say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, Lord.
I praise the Lord for his word, that it's a firm foundation that we can trust in. Well, as we bring to a conclusion this series on distractions and fears. I pray that you'll become more aware of how the enemy can come in so quickly and get us tripped up to try to get us out of the will of the Father and to get us over into some dark places. The memory scripture that we've really been focusing on, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. As we go into these scriptures today, we're really going to focus in on ourselves, the struggles that the enemy presents to us and that we just deal with in close range. Sometimes we can miss out on the distractions that are so close to us and just make them a habit. They become habitual. And remember on last Sunday, we don't want to be habitually in sin. We don't want to continually practice sin. So before we get into the scripture of the day, let's go into a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for salvation. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that ministers to our hearts, Lord. Father, we need you as we are living in a world of distractions and fears. Lord, help us open our eyes that we can see you, that we can see your will, and help us to walk in that way. Now, Lord, I pray for those that are looking, viewing in, listening that may not know you. Would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's scripture, we've been walking through the book of 1 John. Some really striking chapters and verses that have really put the spotlight on our lives. 1 John 3:24 is going to be our focus scripture today. 1 John 3:24, it reads, "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." That 1 John 3:24 again. "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." I want to speak from subject today, abiding in him. Abiding in him. As we have been in this entirety of the book, really, and just examining the scriptures, we continue to hear this word abide. Wanted to define that again just so that we could kind of transition in today's lesson. To abide means to wait patiently for, to remain in place, to continue to be sure or firm, to endure. I love that because that's what we're doing as we fight through all the distractions and fears. We are literally standing firm. We're enduring. We are abiding in the Lord. From last time, we were in 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And we talked about we shall be like him. Some points in review. Oh, how he loves you and me, just like Jesus. Sin is serious. The devil is defeated. And who is your daddy? Time frame is 95 AD. John, this apostle, the Lord has really matriculated in his journey. He's an elder, an old man, and he is speaking to the congregation to encourage them to walk in righteousness, to stay in purity, also to watch out for false teachers. Teachers had risen up within the church that were actually taking some of the flock in the wrong direction by these distractions and fears. The enemy was doing all he could do to sidetrack this congregation. And even in our lives now, we can see this coming into today's church, distractions and fears trying to slow us down as we really focus in on the fact that Jesus Christ is soon to return. As we jump into this section, 1 John 3:11, 11, it says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Could you and Chad, or as you're sitting in your living rooms, wherever you are, just type "love one another." Or if you're sitting there and you have some beside you, tell them, "love one another." This is a critical point that we'll be talking about. Verse 12, "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous." 13, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." Here's our first point. Love is our motivation. Yes, love is our motivation. This is so important to note, that everything we do as we're fighting through this seasons of distractions and fears, love has to motivate us so that we can see clearly. Let's focus in on 1 John 3:11, that second part. It says that we should love one another. So in order to really understand that we are walking in love, we have to actually show that love. And the question I present to you, are we really showing love to our brothers and our sisters? This is key, especially coming out of what the world celebrates, Valentine's Day, lifting up love, and people will give out certain trinkets to their loved one. I remember early in school, I remember I was little tight. And you would have those people that you wanted to give cards to. My mama had to go out and buy these little cheesy cards that I could give to the people that were around. And they said, you know, "I love you," or "Would you be my Valentine?" All of those things. And in that season and in time, you know, you figure if you got a card that they really love you. But we all know you can give a card to somebody and not really show them love. And sometimes we have to be careful, even in this life. As Christians, we can get distracted and we can get caught up in fears, and we really not show the love that we should. Have you taken time to know your brothers or sisters? That's a part of showing love. Or have we been, again, caught up in this world? Jesus speaks of this sentiment in John chapter 15, around that 12th verse. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend." I'm talking about abiding in him. This is tough. This is a heavy scripture Jesus brings to us. He says love is manifested that someone is willing, this greater love, to lay down their life. And Jesus is the one who has exemplified this. Verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." This is key. As we're showing love, love is going to take us some places sometimes that our flesh does not want to go. Any amens, any hallelujahs? Notice here in 1 John 3:13, as we're walking in this love, now it puts the spotlight on our lives and the lives of others. That 13th verse says, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." Now, within that scripture, it brought out Cain and Abel. You remember Cain hated his brother and he killed Abel simply because the works that the sacrifice that Abel had brought was the right sacrifice. Abel was living righteously. Cain refused to do the right thing, and therefore to wipe out that guilt that he had, he just killed his brother. But please understand that righteous act, God said, the blood of your brother cries out from the ground. And so as we live righteous, we actually put the spotlight on those who are living in an unholy way, an unrighteous way. Jesus goes on to teach this about the world hating us. I'm talking about abiding in him. 17 and 14 of John, it says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world." We've talked about this over and over again during this series. "Just as I am not of the world, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." He has left us here. He saved us, but we are here in the world dealing with all of these things that are coming at us. John 17, 16, "They are not of the world, just as I am not the world." 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true." God's word really separates us as we get into the word. And I started out, thank God for his word. It gives us that firm foundation. As you sent me into this world, I also have sent them into the world. Now, this whole process, abiding in him, it really gets us to a point that we exemplify the life of Christ. Isn't that good news? God is using us via the Holy Spirit, that as we fight through all this stuff and we're abiding in the Lord, that the world, even in its darkness, can see the light, can see Christ is alive and well. Theologian Arthur Farstead, he pegs what we go through in this wicked world when we abide in the Lord. Listen to this. The righteous life of the Christian throws the wickedness of the unbeliever into sharp relief. The latter hates this exposure, and instead of changing his wicked behavior, he seeks to destroy what shows it up so clearly. It would be just an unreasonable for a person to destroy a ruler or a straight edge for showing how crooked is the line that he has drawn. This is awesome, abiding in him. It's the same respect that when you use a mirror. We know when we get prepared to go into our days, we always go before a mirror and we lift up that mirror, and that mirror shows the imperfections. That mirror shows that we need to do this or we need to do that. What if it came to the point that we like, you know what? I don't want to clean up myself. I don't want to fix that part. And we just got rid of all the mirrors. We was like, I don't want to look at myself anymore. But please understand, if you get rid of all the mirrors, you still gonna be jacked up. There ought to be some amens in the house, because the mirror was that righteous standard that actually shows you how you look. That's what we are in this world. We're actually mirrors that are walking about. We don't have the unholiness, but when the light shines in us and people look at us, they really can see the issues and the struggles of life. And that's why we can come to the point of saying, you know what, I got a solution. His name is Jesus. There ought to be some hallelujahs out there. Look at 1 John 3:14, abiding in him. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. There it is again. He who does not love his brother abides in death. That's heavy. Notice that 15th verse. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There it is again, abiding in him. Here's another point. Christ is our example of love. Christ is our example of love. We see that. Him going on the cross, he laid down his life for us. The sinless Lamb of God became our sacrifice. And guess what? Yes, when we abide in him, he expects us to be willing to lay down our lives for others. Now, we're going to examine that. It's not just in death, but giving your life for others. Christ loved his disciples, even Judas. We talked about him on last Sunday. 1 John 4:7 brings this out even further. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So if we're saved, love is automatic. That agape is on the inside, and it presses us past our flesh. Our flesh is going to fight. Our flesh wants to go the other way, but the love of God bursts, and we find out that God is love. 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If you are saved, you have the love of God on the inside of you. God is love. 1 John 4:9, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God sends Jesus, that is our everything, so that we can have life and life more abundantly. I'm talking about abiding in him. In that same respect, as we are saved, we bring life to the situation. We bring blessings to people's lives. We love them with the love of God. And notice again this 1 John 3:16, very heavy verse. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. John speaks strongly to this congregation. He says, press past the false teachings. Please understand, love is so important. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How are you showing your love towards your brothers and sisters? I really want you to think about that. How are you manifesting that? Please, love can hurt. Love can inconvenience you. Love takes time. Any hallelujahs out there? You can say love, just type love. When you think about love, when you truly love someone, when you truly put time into that, when you truly go after them with your love, it hurts sometimes. Susan Sontag, a filmmaker of this century, she writes this quote that's very powerful. She's also an American writer. She says this. She says, it hurts to love. It's like giving yourself to be flayed and knowing that at any moment the other person may just walk off with your skin. Isn't that heavy? I'm going to read that again, because some of you, I want you to get this. Love can hurt. It hurts to love. It's like giving yourself to be flayed and knowing that at any moment, the other person may just walk off with your skin, abiding in him. That's why we got to stay in him, because as we love, I'm telling you, sometimes we're going to go through some hard times of life. Sometimes we're going to go through some tears coming from our eyes because the love of God. Think about what God did and showed his love for us, that we could be delivered and set free. But there are rewards of loving through pain. There are rewards. There ought to be some hallelujahs. When we understand what God has done for us and we really tap into that agape love, Katie Ashley, a USA Today and a New York Times best-selling author, she writes this. She said, it's the love that goes through the hardest trials and survives that's worth having. I want you to hear that again. It's the love that goes through the hardest trials and survives that's worth having. Abiding in him. I'm telling you, some of my best friends, of course, they are saved and delivered, but we have gone through some stuff. And by going through some stuff, it brought us together. That's what love is all about. And as we are growing in the Lord, fighting through the distractions and fears, we are going to go through some valleys. We're going to go through some forests. Times. We're going to go through some lightning storms, but that's where God really manifests his power. Some of you know, you didn't understand love until you had to go through some struggles. You didn't understand love until some tears had to come down. I'm talking about abiding in him. Look at 1 John 3:17-18. But whoever has this world's goods, we're putting some teeth in it. That's what John is doing right now. And sees his brother in need, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Here's another point. If it moves you, move it. Yes, if it moves you, move it. As the love of God via the Holy Spirit is abiding in us, he speaks to us. He encourages us to do certain things. But we often get distracted by our busy schedules and the stuff of this life. And so much of it amounts to much of nothing. But we're doing it. Have you ever asked somebody what they're doing? They can't even tell you what they're doing. They're just kind of all scattered brain over a whole bunch of stuff. They got their phones. They've got the internet. All these things are going on. We talk about a lot what should be done. We talk about what could be done, and we even come to the point of pointing at other people and saying they need to do this. But please understand, how often do we put the light on ourselves and say, God, you're speaking to me. It's moving me, so I need to move it. We are abiding in him. We must take time for others. I want you to get this. If we are abiding in him, we must take time for others. Remember the teaching of Jesus in Luke 10:30. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Jesus gives us this wonderful example. Theologians, they struggle, like, was this a real story or was this a made-up story? Whatever it was, it's in the Word of God, and it really, really brings to the point of what love is all all about. Luke 10:31. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road. Look at this. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I'm talking about abiding in him. When we are truly abiding in him, we don't just pass by and look and go to the other side. We actually partake and assist and help. Luke 10:32. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Very important, that 31 and 32, the priest and the Levite of the church. They had positions in the church, we could say that using that example, but the religious folks did not help. They went to the other side. I'm talking about abiding in him. See, you can be in church, physical building. You can call yourself a Christian. You can dress up like a Christian, but yet you can miss out on those points of what abiding in him means in your life. Luke 10:33, but a certain Samaritan, he journeyed and came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. That's what abiding in him, truly connecting with the Lord, produces compassion in our hearts to look after the plight of others. Luke 10:34. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Good God Almighty, abiding in him. We see this. This is what love does when we abide in the Lord. It causes us by the Spirit of God to want to help and assist those who are hurting, who are going through. Luke 10:35. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, listen to this, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. That is awesome, abiding in him. He's like, you know what, I still got some stuff to do, but I want you to continue to take care of him, put it on my tab, and whatever exceeds what I've already given, please understand, I'll pay you when I get back. Luke 10:36. So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise, abiding in him. That's what love produces. As we abide in him, we show more mercy. How is mercy being shown through you today? Look at 1 John 3:19. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments, do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Here's another point. Our heart and prayer. Yes, our heart and prayer. God wants us to come before him with a clear conscience. So as we abide in him more and more, our consciences become clear, simply because we're more aware of our sins. And we can grasp that 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So now we can go before him. Many of you have experienced this. Try praying when you've got something that you've done wrong. The first thing God is going to do when you really get in his presence, he's going to bring up that situation that you need to fix or deal with or bring before him. Peter helps us to understand this thought of a clear conscience, a righteous life, living an example as we're abiding in the Lord. 1 Peter 3:13, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Here it is, verse 16, having a good conscience. God wants us to abide in him so intricately and connected that we're always walking in the love of God, that we're always showing the example of Christ within our lives, that when they defame you as evildoers, it says here, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Look at this, 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil, abiding in him. We truly are planted on the firm foundation, and God is saying, I've left you in this world that you can really live these lives. And the only way you can live these lives of example, again, are to abide in Him, not just one day a week, but I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, getting into God's Word, loving on the Lord, worshiping Him, praising Him, memorizing Scripture, getting it deep on the inside, abiding in Him. We also find that our hearts, when our conscience has been pricked and our hearts are going through, a lot of things can come out of this. Our prayers can actually be hindered. Notice this, 1 Peter 3:7 specifically speaks to husband. It says, husbands likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to his wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Please understand, when we're not abiding in Him and our consciences are messed up, when we've got stuff that's unconfessed, when we're caught up in distractions and fears, our prayers can be hindered. Jesus teaches in Matthew 5:23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, verse 24, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. I'm talking about abiding in Him. We talk about this when we take communion. It says, but let a man examine himself. If you've got anything in your heart, your conscience is going to be pricked, and you want to get that right, because I'm telling you, when we get into the will of God, there is power, man. Our prayers are connected with God. We can lay hands on the sick, the scriptures say, and they recover. God is able to open doors that have been shut. There ought to be some shouts of praise. We've got to abide more in the Lord. Our hearts can be clear. Our consciences can be full calm. We've got to repent and change. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Then we can embrace this reality of Hebrews 4:14. I love this scripture. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, abiding in Him. 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I'm telling them, shouting, where can I read them again? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And shout, you need to say mercy and grace as you're sitting in your living rooms. Mercy and grace. You're on your break, just lift up your hand. Mercy and grace, abiding in Him produces abundance of mercy and grace in our lives and also the lives of others. Look at these final verses, pulling this together. 1 John 3:23, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Final point, having God's Spirit. Yes, having God's Spirit. If we're truly saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. Yes, and this abiding process is all tied up in the Spirit of God that has changed us and changing us from the inside out. We're working our salvation out on a daily basis with fear and trembling. He helps us to keep His Word, to keep His commandments, to stay in His Word, to understand His Word, and to apply it to our lives. Notice 1 John 3:23 again, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. This is critical as we're in God's Word, as we're believing what Jesus Christ has done and His whole calling for coming to earth. It changes us. It wants us to, it makes us to want to live on a more holy level, a more righteous level, to really live the Word out and what God encompasses, that we take this for real. It's not just saying in Jesus' name, but we're applying that name to our lives, and we want to walk through these destructions distractions and fears. We want to be that light, as said before, that shines in a dark, dark world, that souls can be saved and be brought to the knowledge of the truth. This seems to summarize this scripture, all the duties to God and to man. Remember the encounter with Christ, Matthew 22:35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" This was a test that came to Jesus. I love this. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That's heavy, man. I quote that often, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. But notice this, Matthew 22:39. Man, this pulls it all together, abiding in him. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are a lot of people that say that they love God. There's a lot of people that say that they're walking in Christ, but they're not loving those that are around them. They're not reaching out and sharing the good news with their neighbors. Look closely at 1 John 3:24. "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him." There's that word again, abide. "And he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." I'm telling you, that is such good news. He abides in us and we abide in him. We're talking about abiding in the Lord. As I think about all the things that we've gone through in our lives, all the scriptures, the light has shone in on us to show us the goodness of the Lord. I'm telling you today that we have to want more of God. We've got to want more of Jesus Christ. We've got to want more of God's word, and we've got to allow via the Holy Spirit for it to grow up on the inside of us. As we sum up everything, I'm telling you, I remember Mary. Remember Mary when Martha, they were in the house, and Martha was encumbered by many things, getting the dinner ready. We see that Mary wanted to abide in Jesus, and we find her sitting at Jesus' feet. We've got to allow ourselves more time to just sit at Jesus' feet. I'm talking about to think about his goodness and his grace and his mercy. We've got to give ourselves more time to get in our secret closets where we can just lift up our hands and say, "God, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for saving me and delivering me." We need to take time that we can sing songs of praise unto the Lord because he's been so good to us. We've got to take some time to reminisce why Jesus came from heaven to earth and walked among men, that he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, but he went to the cross of Calvary carrying our sins and bearing our griefs there so that we can be delivered and set free. He dies on that cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but I'm so glad to let you know, 3 days later, he gets up with all power and glory, and now he's seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. You know why? So that we can abide in him. We cannot take that for granted. This world is going through so much stuff, so many struggles, but when we abide in the Lord, people can know there is hope. When we abide in the Lord, people can know that God is still a deliverer. When we abide in the Lord, people can know that he's still a healer. When we abide in the Lord, people can know that there is everlasting life through Jesus Christ that's soon to return. Saints of God, we need to abide in him. Again, as we fight through all the distractions and fears, the safest place is in the presence of God. Take more time with him. Man, don't just go through your day and just continue this cycle over and over again where God has just given a small bit of your day. But decide, "God, I want to abide in you. I want to have personal time with you that's meaningful. And when I come out of my closet, I want to walk through the day where I have you on my mind, that I can hear your voice, and that I can show that love to other people that are around. I want to love you with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. But Lord, also, I need you, God, as I'm abiding you, that I can love my neighbor as myself." That's what salvation is all about. If you don't know Jesus, man, I encourage you today to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and said you will be saved. Please accept that generous gift from God today, that we can be changed from the inside out. It's not going to be easy. There are going to be some tough days, But just to know that we have the Holy Spirit on the inside. To the saints, I want to really encourage you, give yourself more to the Lord. To side as we fight through all of this stuff. Man, I want to get to know Jesus more because he gave it all. He was our example on that cross of Calvary. He gave it all for us that we could have an opportunity to abide in the Lord. And please understand, this seeps over to everlasting life, that we can be with God forever and ever. Let's not take for granted that special, wonderful gift that he's given us. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for teaching us how to make it through distractions and fears. Lord, help us to abide in you on a daily basis. Lord, we have messed up. We have failed so often. But today, Lord, we bring it to the altar. Lord, we put it before you. Help us to be more like you. Thank you for your immense grace and mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you, God, for taking time to save us. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
When the day comes, if the day comes, and I am still here, I will say to the Master, thank you for staying near, and I will forever give you, I'll give you the praise. 'Cause I know where my help comes from, and I know the battle is won, and I am forever trusting in your love. You're my spirit sent down from above, and I know he watches over me, and I thank you, Jesus, for saving me, and I will forever, let me forever give you the praise. When I get up, if I get up, and I can move my legs to walk, and if I open up my mouth just to speak and I'm able to talk, I will forever, let me forever give you the praise. Well, I know where my help comes from. Lord, I know the battle is won, and I am forever trusting in your love. You're my spirit sent down from above, and I know he watches over me. And I thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And I will forever, let me forever give you the praise. When the night falls, if the night falls, and I'm in my right mind. Thank you, Lord, I will say to the Master, thank you for being so kind, and I will forever, let me forever give you the praise. Well, I know where my help comes from. Lord, I know the battle is won, and I am forever trusting in your love. You're my spirit sent down from above, and I know he watches over me. I want to thank you, Jesus, for saving me, and I will forever, let me forever give you the praise. Now when the night falls, yes, if the night falls, and I'm in my right mind, thank you, Lord, I will say to the Master, thank you for being so kind, and I will forever, let me forever